This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Undocumented immigrants of all backgrounds are worried about living in Donald Trump's America. Today, we'll focus on undocumented Filipino immigrants, who are part of the largest growing immigrant group in the nation, Asians. The latest U.S. Census finds that there are more than 3 million Filipino immigrants living in the U.S. That number, of course, includes those who have migrated with legal documents. But for those Filipinos living in the U.S. without papers, there are now two belligerent leaders they have to contend with. In addition to Donald Trump's overtly racist and anti-immigrant directives, the relatively new Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte is creating a bloody legacy of mass killings in his country under the name of a war on drugs. Duterte has bragged about Trump endorsing his violent campaign. My guest is Alyssa Aquino. She is a NEXT leader at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and she recently wrote about the plight that Filipino immigrants in the U.S. are facing. Welcome to the program, Alyssa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. And Alyssa joins us from a Starbucks in New York City, which is the only place with reliable Wi-Fi at a time when the East Coast is being, you know, totally experiencing very serious blizzards. So Alyssa, I appreciate you taking the trouble to join us. So first, let's talk about how big this community is. I mean, it's hard to get numbers, of course, of undocumented immigrants in general. I mentioned Asians are the fastest growing immigrant group in the country, but that's a huge diversity within Asians. Of them, there are Filipino immigrants. Many are here legally, but many are here also without papers. Do you have a sense of how big the undocumented group of Filipinos is in the U.S.?
The thing is, the number is always under contention. According to the U.S. Census, it has a number pegged around, like, according to U.S. sources, it's about 300,000. And that's also the official sources from the overseas, on the group of Committee on Overseas Filipino Workers. However, most activists and even government officials are working with the number 800,000.
800,000?
800,000.
So nearly a million, okay.
Yeah, though I was at a retreat that dealt with survivors of trafficking, and there was a Filipino organization that pegged the number higher. Hmm. It's pretty hard to tell. I think the source that I would recognize the most, or as being the most important to consider, is that I think 2 months ago, an American diplomat within the U.S. consulate told, I think, the Filipino government that it was, the number would rise to 800,000, or the number of people up for deportation.
So have Filipino immigrants already been identified as a group that immigration enforcement authorities are sort of eyeing? There was a raid, an ICE raid recently in Mississippi that was sort of specifically aimed at Asian immigrants. I'm not sure if there were necessarily Filipinos among them, but have Filipinos as a group been identified by ICE?
I don't believe so at this moment. The funny thing is, due to the current domestic politics in the Philippines has been considered a terrorist country, has been identified as such like months ago. And I believe that and it's been on a list of terrorist countries to consider adding into a no ban list. But I don't believe that ICE is considered going after the Filipino communities in the U.S.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, anyway.
So let's talk about what drives immigration from the Philippines. Duterte is a relatively new leader, and I want to talk about his policies and why he's such a sort of has created this atmosphere of very severe fear. But even before that, there were clashes and violent hotspots under the earlier Filipino regime. And the U.S. has had very friendly ties with those regimes in the past. Can you identify what has driven Filipino immigration to the United States?
It's a combination. The root of it is, of course, the special colonial relationship with the Philippines and the U.S. It came into the U.S. possession in the 1900s, and at the U.S. at the time was facing labor shortages. So it's very easy to bring Filipino workers to Hawaii and California. And then after World War II, there was these healthcare shortages in the U.S. And because the Philippines had that relationship with the U.S. because the U.S. is there. They basically trained. They set up this infrastructure to train Filipino women to be healthcare professionals with the intent of bringing them over to the U.S. And then as like the economy grew worse, mostly because global economic policies, it just became this Filipino government like policy just to export workers and to go abroad. And because so many Filipino people, like all of them nearly, can speak English, the U.S. was always this attractive area. Like, you had the relationship. There were aspects of American culture already embedded in Filipino society. Filipino workers who were fluent in English, and healthcare professionals. And there was this infrastructure set up for Filipino women to go over to the U.S. And it was the most logical place to go.
Yeah. I mean, there are Filipino immigrants all over the world. The Gulf Arab states have an unusually large number of Filipino migrants as well, often domestic workers. Now, here in the United States, and I should mention the Filipinos as a group, not just if you look at all Asians, but specifically Filipinos as a group, are the fourth largest ethnic community among immigrants, which is a pretty significant figure. We don't hear enough about it. So let's talk about what has happened under Duterte. I'm assuming that the majority of people who have immigrated to the United States, whether with papers or without, came here before Duterte. But I imagine that given what's happening currently in the Philippines, it's a very scary place for any undocumented people to return to, even as they try to balance what they face under Trump. So what has Duterte done in the Philippines, if you can summarize, over the a year or so of his presidency? How has he turned parts of the Philippines into killing zones?
Well, the Filipino economy hasn't been in a good position for decades. And he basically capitalized on this, basically a state of society. And he came to power with this anti-corruption campaign, or with this rhetoric of like he will fight against anti-corruption. And he promised he would do so by doing what he did in Davao City on a nationwide scale, which was basically...
And that city was where he was a mayor previously.
That was where he rose to prominence. He basically did all these extrajudicial killings in Davao City, and it helped the city. That's depending on the sources you look at in contention. But
so basically, he's a kind of person who likes to, as far as I understand, use the military and law enforcement as tools of mass incarceration, but also just killings, right? I mean, if you're even a suspected drug user, we're not talking about necessarily sellers, but a user, you could simply be killed for using drugs in the Philippines today, and many have, including children.
Yeah, he's famous for how anti-crime he is. I think he's pretty much instituted this mass panic over drugs. And it's not just drug dealers, but anyone who uses drugs, and how it's almost like this disease and it must be eradicated. And the only way to do it, by his rhetoric, the only way to do it is to just one long hard strike. Hmm. And then that's how you see this nationwide like push to of extrajudicial killings.
So would it be fair to compare Trump with Duterte? Obviously, Trump hasn't ordered mass extrajudicial killings, but the rhetoric that these two leaders spout, would it be fair to compare them? I mean, Amnesty International recently released a report pointing out that the toxic and divisive rhetoric being spewed by leaders in various countries is creating a very difficult atmosphere. And in the list of people they identified were both Donald Trump and Rodrigo Duterte, among other right-wing leaders the world over.
I think, to be honest, I feel like what happened is terrible, but there was this mass feeling of stagnation, not only the stagnation, but socioeconomic decay. And he capitalized on that. He was like, the governmental system has been, in the Philippines, it has been corrupt. And he was seen as this outsider, and he made his bones as this outsider. I think he had more cred as an outsider than Trump. And he was pretty much like the only person actively talking about it. He was like this only figure that didn't really have ties to the establishment, that didn't have ties to the U.S.
But now, of course, with Trump with Trump in power, he seems to be fomenting those ties to the U.S. because there might be a leader that he can actually relate to in the U.S.
Yeah, it's pretty trying to track the rhetoric of Duterte is pretty similar to trying to track the rhetoric of Trump. It changes slightly. He's found an ally in Trump.
So for undocumented Filipino immigrants in the United States, it's a very difficult time, as it is, of course, for all undocumented immigrants. For example, when we talk about undocumented folks from Mexico, one of the things that comes up is that the Mexican government does sympathize with those people in the United States who are here without papers. And they take offense when undocumented Mexicans are targeted and criminalized. Do you have anything comparable in the Philippines? Does Duterte or the Filipino government offer any support for undocumented Filipinos in the U.S.?
To my knowledge, no. There were promises directly after Trump was elected by Duterte's labor secretary, basically to the effect of they will create these economic these work programs in the Philippines to lure back undocumented workers from the U.S. and I think to also try and stem the migrant worker issue. However, to my knowledge, that hasn't materialized. And then you have a month ago, or I believe it's a month or 2 months, where Duterte was saying that he will not lift a finger to help undocumented Filipinos in the U.S., that it is a violation of the law. He was basically just saying, like, get back on a plane to the Philippines, and then that's
right.
It.
Right, where you might be killed if you're even suspected of being a drug user. So, yes, you quoted him in the article that you wrote for the Institute for Policy Studies. He said, if you are caught and deported, this is of those Filipinos living overseas, I will not lift a finger. So how are ordinary people here in the United States, Filipino immigrants, whether they're documented or not, dealing with this? Let's talk about the way in which the anti-Trump, and in this case, possibly anti-Duterte, resistance, but, you know, for the people living here, Trump is the bigger threat. How is this resistance manifesting? How are people organizing? Are there ways in which people are being schooled about what their legal rights are, even if they're undocumented? They do have, of course, basic rights.
Well, there are many Filipino workers associations, or just Filipino American associations, on the East and West Coast, in California especially. And there's basically just been like an uprise in Know Your Rights training. It's just a lot of people trying to disseminate good information on what to do, because there's a lot of bad information going around. There's a lot of like panic and hysteria, I believe, in California, or just in general. Like, you have like a couple of undocumented Filipino immigrants thinking that they can apply for asylum in the US and that this will be a way to legalize the situation because of the extrajudicial killings that are going on in the Philippines. And of course, this information is incorrect. So it's a lot of just like trying to get all the right legal knowledge out there, trying to connect people to lawyers.
Are Filipinos part of the broad social movements that are organizing against Trump?
I think that now they're starting to, there's a lot of different like groups, organizations that are joining the movement. Filipino Americans, or like undocumented Filipinos, are American. We are people of color American. This white nationalist uprising does affect us on a day-to-day level. And then like the immigration and like the rise of like the deportation state, like that is something that is affecting the community. If your government isn't going to help you, you have to stand with everyone else doing something.
Do you see those sorts of links and that solidarity expressed not just between different ethnicities among Asians, Filipinos and non-Filipino South Asians, for example, Chinese Americans or immigrants, but also with Latin American groups, African migrants, etc.?
With Latin American groups, yes. Especially yes, just because there are so many cultural similarities,
right,
between Filipinos and Latin Americans. And to be quite honest, a Filipino American looks more like, to the average non-Filipino, probably just looks Mexican.
And also so names sound Latin American because of the history of common,
yes,
colonialism.
Yeah. I think I was asked 2 years ago by someone who pegged me as Latina. He asked me if I was documented or an undocumented, like Mexican. And it's people, in my opinion, people in the Filipino community are more likely to face racial profiling, not because they're Asian, but because they look Latino.
So interesting. It's similar to the way in which, say, Sikh Americans are mistaken for Muslims. I mean, bigots are idiots. They can't tell the racial differences. And so, of course, the best way to counter them is to express solidarity with one another, for all groups to express solidarity with one another. An attack on one is an attack on all. Alyssa, where can people read your writing?
Currently, I'm going to be posting on the Institute for Policy Studies, different web platforms, primarily in their foreign policy and focus page, just because most of my concern is like on American foreign policy and like American immigration policy in general.
We'll post a link to your article that focuses on Filipino undocumented immigrants from our website later today. IPS's website is ips-dc.org. Alyssa, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
And good luck with the storm.
Yeah. This is not something that I enjoy.
Thanks so much. Alyssa Aquino is a NEXT leader at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. And you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.